Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
I have been very lucky, only having skirted authority figures. You know, I remember the first time I was ever caught by the police speeding, and it was. I didn't realise that whenever they stepped out into the middle of the road and waved their hands, that they weren't just being friendly. You know what I mean? I thought, isn't that wonderful? Hello, good morning to you too. So, you know, it was in the bad old days of the Troubles here. Remember where you could have got shot for doing that? Remember those days? You never went through, for those of you who are probably too young to remember that, those of us who, I can't remember either, but I remember people telling me about it. You know, when you would be stopped and there'd be a number of questions you'd be asked, like, do you know the people in your car? I remember with my friends one day, it was actually a guy called Peter Wilson, a Duke special, and he went, no, I don't know, joking. And this soldier with a gun, he went, I don't know who they are, all of them. And they just got into the car in Belfast. And we're like, Peter, stop saying that. You're going to get a shot. Do you know what I mean? On the Hollywood Road. And this English soldier going, is that right, mate? Is that right? And he's going, yeah, honestly, see it? And that one in the back. And we're going, no, don't joke. Anyway, after I passed my test, I was going up. Isn't it ridiculous, for those of us who are local, sorry if you're watching online, but isn't it ridiculous that the Hollywood Road is a 30? Like, that is at least a 60, all right? Should be, anyway. All right? Good big bit of road, dead wide. Nobody's ever on it apart from the multiple schools. Okay, don't worry about that. But when the schools are not there, so I was tearing up about 3 weeks after I passed my test. Sorry, Mum and Dad, you're here today. Listen to this. And my mum's wee Fiesta, I'll never forget it. And this, I was probably doing 45-ish, and as you do. And right up, and this policeman stepped right into the road, you know, with the thing, going like this. I put his hand out. I went straight past him, waving at him. Oh, flip me, he's really, aren't they really friendly? They're lovely. And then, put the brakes on as the bullets were flying past. No, it wasn't that bad. No, but it's funny. But authority's an interesting thing, isn't it? We have to recognize authority. I'm going to talk about that today because many of us don't like authority. And there's something, you know, the legalist in us, the legalism in us sometimes pushes against authority in our lives. But as we get to this point of the story in Ruth, I'm talking about how to live securely in troubled times, how the grace of Jesus will help you to live really securely. In a world which doesn't know whether it's coming or going, stuffed or mounted, one of the key things that I believe we're going to see in the story today is that actually we have the opportunity to come to the place of ultimate authority. Because see, this morning as we stand here, the ultimate authority is Jesus. Right? And that the Jesus that we have worshipped this morning is, you know, when we say it all the time, it says the name above all names. He's the King above all kings. He's the power above all powers. Anyone say yes and amen to me this morning? He's the one that no matter what is going on in the world or around the world, he is the ultimate authority. And we get to today in actually authority rather than being something that we push against, all right? And what I mean is, because like, who has never, like, honestly, and we're going to ask, I'm going to go for a show of hands on this one, all right? Drum roll. Who's ever flashed their lights at people coming the other way to let them know that the police are doing speeding? Oh, on the internet. I actually don't think there's a hand that hasn't gone up. Some people had both hands up going, oh, absolutely. Because there's something in us goes, don't let them get you. Right or wrong? That's the truth, isn't it? I still do it. I don't care. I'm just like, don't slow down. And but it's interesting. Sometimes when we see authority, what we do is we tend to push against it. And actually what we're going to find is today is that, particularly in troubled times, we need to come to a place where there is an authority that we live in and we live under, which is greater than anything else and stronger than anything else. And we put ourselves there. All right, so are we ready to go? If you do have your Bibles with you, just get to Ruth chapter 3. Because what I've been talking about, I'm just going to crack on here this morning as well. Because in Colossians 3:23, it says, that set your mind on things that are above things, not things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so this morning, I really want to encourage you, lift your head up. Whatever is going on in your world, whatever situation you've brought into the room this morning, into church, whatever is bothering you or not, just lift your head. Lift your head up just even as I speak and say, Lord, my heart's open. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive your grace into my life, your undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Because as you do that, right, we might be in this world and we might have to navigate it every day, but actually where our true home is on the inside and where we will be forever is actually a spiritual place, okay? And it's not on the earth, this is all temporary, you'll be glad to know. Isn't that good? You know, because we have a greater hope in us. And his name is Jesus, and his promise is greater. And so what I really want to encourage you, I know for me, the thing that I have to keep continually doing is lifting my head up. Isn't that right? Because your head can get down, can very quickly get down depending on what you're going through. So we're going to lift our heads up. And let's jump into this story in Ruth. Now, remember last week I said that she was in the field gleaning, the field being the church. And if you haven't been following, you need to go back and listen because it's been really good. Now, what does gleaning mean? Because in this story, it is bunged full of imagery about Jesus and about us. And if you'll receive even a little bit of it this morning, I honestly believe it'll pay massive, massive dividends in your life. Because we find that Ruth is in the field gleaning. Now, what does that actually mean? Simply, it means that, you know, she's picking up the good food that is left by the harvesters. Now, the imagery here is very clear. If you're thinking about your life today and you're thinking about your weeks and months and years to come, all right, what this tells you is you need to be found in the field, because in the field is where you get fed. And the harvesters are simply another imagery for teachers. And what happens, as you see here, is Ruth is picking up the food which the harvesters are preparing. Does that make sense? And so the image for us today is the Lord saying, actually, you will be well fed in the church. That's why I believe in Exchange Church this morning. Do you know that? Because you get to come here and listen and take part in and be part of a family, which is all about the grace of Jesus. It's all about his work, and be fed that way. And you get fed that way in the field. That's what it's like. It's not I'm not going to knock people who just wish they could do their whole world online. That's fine, but that's not God's best for you. Do you know that? See, turning up week in, week out with some kind of sense of purpose around your life and some sense of, I am born for something more than just me, to be fed and to be watered and to be blessed. I have been given a call by God from the very beginning. Remember I said in week one, do not ever consider that you have not got something massively important on your life. I don't care who you are or where you've come from. If you're listening to me this morning, you have a call and a purpose to be a channel of the grace and the favor and the mercy of God to people who are literally dying today because they don't know. We're sitting here this morning with the most wonderful, incredible message of favor from God himself. And what he says is, listen, it's not just about you and yours. Remember, it's grace for us all. It's grace for everybody. And so what happens is Ruth, it's interesting that the Lord brings her to a place where she is fed by those who give out the message, right? And it's not like she hears it secondhand or she's listening over the wall. She finds herself in the middle of the field. I'm just going to go from that point. Now, it's interesting that she's introduced to this guy, Boaz. Remember, I said he is a picture of Jesus. But what's interesting is the story tells us something about the way that grace works. Because who is it that introduces Ruth to Boaz? We're not actually told a name. Boaz is the only name that we're given. But what we're told is that there's this unnamed servant who introduces Ruth to Boaz. Now, this is very suggestive, actually, of the role of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that in every example that in the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit is used in this way, it's always as an unnamed servant. You might not have known that from reading your Bibles. In Genesis 24, as an example, Abraham, as the father sent his eldest, to get a bride for his son Isaac and all that kind of stuff. You might have, if you know that story, you'll see it's the same way. But the Holy Spirit, and again, how the unnamed servant works, but the Holy Spirit always appears as the unnamed servant. And why is that? Why is that this morning? Because it tells us something about grace, right? Because Jesus himself said that he would never testify of himself. He would never speak of himself. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit is the one, we're all under this one Holy Spirit. And you know that the true ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to glorify himself, but to glorify Jesus. Yes. Do you get that this morning? What I'm trying to say to you is this. If you ever, ever feel like the Lord is on your back, condemning you, pointing you out, guilting you. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit never does that. The only thing that he does is to show you Jesus. And what do you see whenever you see Jesus? You see love. You see all of his grace. You see all of his perfection. And the Holy Spirit's job here is to introduce. Here we have Ruth in the field feeding. The Spirit comes along and introduces her to Jesus. That's why grace matters. Do you understand that? Because the Holy Spirit, I can tell you now, many of us this week will have times where you felt like, I know that you love me, God, but you're also a little bit disappointed with me, yes or no? Because it's something that's in us. I know that you love me, but I let you down here. I'm not so good there. I flipping messed it up there again. And Lord, and actually sometimes it's the same thing of going, you know, like, Lord, are you just kind of going, you love me, but? And what we see here in the picture is absolutely not. In this field, what happens is the Spirit, the unnamed servant, just introduces us to Jesus. Every day, what I'm trying to say to you is this, is never be in doubt that the only work of God in you, the Holy Spirit himself, he's only going to reveal what Jesus has done for you and who Jesus is. Do you understand that? And we need to be much better in these days because we'll always be insecure if we feel like God is loving us one moment but kind of disappointed the next. Or even that, like, there's this curious mixture of love and approval. There is no such thing with God. Under grace, the only thing that he sees, as Penny prayed earlier on, the only thing that he sees is Jesus' work given to you as a gift. And he calls you all righteous, completely acceptable. And what he wants to do week in, week out, is simply show you more, not of you and what's wrong with you, but more of Jesus and who he is and what he has done for you. So you can be confident every minute of every day. You can wake up tomorrow morning facing your week and going, I might not be all it. I might have my issues, but God above, the God of heaven, what he's going to do is he's going to show me every time I am open to him, every time I keep my mind on him, he's going to remind me of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for me. The Spirit reveals Jesus and nothing else. What's really interesting about that is he doesn't testify about himself either. That's why I honestly believe you'll know that it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, not if you're left going, what about me? Or what about a manifestation or whatever? But did I come away with more of an encounter of Jesus in my life? Does that make sense? Sometimes we just think, you know, I've been around, I'm not knocking it, but I've been around many places where, like, the gifts and the manifestations are the point, right? And not Jesus as the point. And Jesus is always the point. Jesus is always the focus. It's not about the gifts and the manifestations. It's not about, woohoo, look at this, it's fantastic. All right? Honestly, it's not. If you walk away wondering more about that than you do about, I just had this incredible view of Jesus' love for me and his goodness for me, then you'll know one's the Spirit and one's not. Why? Because that's what the Word says. The Holy Spirit only ever testifies to Jesus. And he's unnamed. Why? Because all the glory belongs to the Lord. Every time. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Jesus because it's his work. Is that okay? And so I want to encourage you this week to go, I believe that in those moments where you're maybe not mindful of, to be honest, not mindful of the Lord, you might be doing work, you might be with colleagues, in the middle of stuff, kids, family, whatever situations are going on. I just want to encourage you that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, in one moment, if you think about the Lord, just allow the Holy Spirit to guide. He said, I'll guide you in truth. Right? I'll guide you in aletheia is the word. And Jesus said, I am aletheia. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word that he uses is aletheia. And what the Lord said is the Holy Spirit will guide you into aletheia, will guide you into this revelation of Jesus and his truth. So don't accept it, is what I'm trying to say. Don't allow the enemy to run rampant in your minds this week. Let your confession from your mouth be that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been bought at a great price. There is no debt outstanding between me and God because Jesus took it all. There is nothing that will ever separate me from the love of God. I have his unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor right in this moment. Why? Because he is good and faithful, and that's my testimony. Amen. Every minute of every day, that's grace for you. And so I haven't got to the main point yet, but what happens is this unnamed servant is introduced and is bringing Ruth and Boaz together. It's what the Lord does. The Spirit of the Lord is working today. Do you know in your children, in your friends, in your colleagues, whoever is not here this morning with you, but they're dear to your heart? Can I just say that actually what happens is that he's always making introductions. And I want to encourage you with that today, because one of the biggest weights and burdens that we carry at times is not just about ourselves, but what we carry for others and their situations. And we sometimes think, God, let's be honest, how many times you've thought, God, do you not understand? Like, seriously? Anyone? Like, we can be honest. Like, God's not going to go, seriously? You don't trust me? Seriously? All right, I'm taking my ball and going home then. It's not the way the Lord works, right? It was all going well until you pulled that one out of your bag. It's okay. Because that's the wonderful thing about grace. Your ups and downs never change his love and commitment for you. So if you've ever thought this morning, right, like seriously, or do you not see, or do you not care, or do you not understand, or when are you going to break through, or when is this going to change for them? Because it breaks my heart to watch what's going on. Yeah? Let me just tell you something. He's always making introductions. The unnamed servant is always at work. And what's he doing? Condemning them? No. Trying to catch them out? No. He's just trying to reveal Jesus to them, right? Because that's where they're going to get fed. In verse 8, it says, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Now listen, my daughter, do not glean in another field,'" right? Gleaning, feeding, right? So here we go. Don't glean in another field. Remember I said the world's dead smart, but it lacks wisdom, right? So whether you're academic or technically smart or whatever, smartness will not help you navigate your way through the days that we live in. It's only the wisdom of God that will help you to do that. And God's wisdom sometimes doesn't look like what smart looks like according to the world. You understand that? And so what happens, he says here, don't glean in another field. Don't go to a different place to try to look for that which feeds you. Stay in the field. Don't go to another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. And I've said it before, that's why I believe, you know, we've got to keep our eyes not just on Jesus and what he's done for us, but the place where he's planted us so that other people can come and can glean and be fed as well. All right? That's the whole point. It's grace for all. Now, what happens? Let me tell you something. This is a journey from, you know, we talk about from grace to grace and glory to glory. This is what the journey looks like. If you want to see more glory in your life, more of the fullness of God, more of the expression of God's grace in your life. It's there. In one way, there is a process, there's a positioning for it, not to earn it, but to position yourself for it. And the first place is be found in the field where you can receive grace. That's the second thing. And don't leave it. Commit yourself to it. Because the world doesn't have what, you know, the whole point of the Lord saying this is you'll never find what you need anywhere else other than in the house of God. That's the first part. And then the result is this. She comes, right? Ruth comes as a gleaner. She's trusting in God's favor. She's working all day. And I told you last week, what did she receive? When she positioned herself there, she got an ephah of barley. That's about 10 days worth, which was absolutely incredible. Now, just remember that. She got enough for 10 days, okay? Simply by being found, okay, where she came and was seeking her own blessing, she received enough for 10 days. That's enough. Hold that thought because I'm going to show you what happens at the end. And Naomi actually says to her, verse 20, "May he be blessed by the Lord. This is Boaz, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." And so what happens is it maps the journey in our own life. We start to see God move. We receive what we need. It's incredible. And we praise God and we go, that's fantastic. But the Lord's going to show us through this story that there is so much more for you and me today. So much more. And it all hinges on authority. So let's keep reading in the story. Let's read... Because this is a bit of the story which is very much misunderstood. Because it cracks me up, actually, because people have made this about sex and manipulation, this next bit of the story, and it's not. In fact, the whole tenet of the story is something completely different. Let's read Ruth 3, 7 to 9. "Then she came softly," because what happens is Naomi says, "Get yourself scrubbed up, love," right? Because basically, I'm Belfast paraphrase, right? "Get yourself scrubbed up and... Go up to the threshing floor." I'm going to explain that in one moment because Boaz is there and it's harvest time, harvest, the time of celebration. So she gets herself scrubbed up and she goes up and she lays across his feet. Now, that was very common in those days because what a servant would do, they would lie across, so his feet went like that, they would lie across this way. And that was perfectly normal in the days, all right? So this is not about sex and manipulation. That's what the world says. But actually what it tells us is this is about resting and trusting. two totally different things. Ruth, let's read 7-9. Then she came softly and she uncovered his feet. What was that about? Was it to go, wee tickle? You know what I mean? I remember that actually happened to me. Pastors in my old church, very funny, when I was a kid. And this woman thought that I was her son. And she came into the bed and lifted and tickled my feet and went, and I went, seriously? I went, your son's in the other bed. I was only like 10 at the time. It's very funny. So every time I read this story, I go, oh, I remember that, Aileen Jervis, right? And we laughed about it. Anyway, we're only kids. I had a little sleepover. And I was like, I'm freaking out right now. And so, brilliant. And so what happened was, why did she lift the hem? Because actually it would have been cold. And it was a way of very gently creating the opportunity for him to wake up. And that's all it was, just uncover his feet, because his feet would get cold and then he'd wake up, right? Nothing untoward in that at all. Now, she uncovered his feet and she lay down. So she's going to be lying across the bottom of the bed almost. At midnight, the man was startled because his feet were freezing. And he turned over, right? And behold, it's very practical. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. Now, to be fair, if you went to bed on any particular night and you woke up and there was a woman lying across the bottom of your bed who shouldn't be there, you'd probably be startled too. I'd love to know what Boaz said, but he just said he was, you know, he said, who are you? I bet you he did. You're like, what? Okay. All right. And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Now, where's this all taking place? It's all taking place on the threshing floor. Right, so we're told that at the beginning of the story, go up to the threshing floor. It's where they bring everything in, and they would hammer it out, and use what had been threshed. But why is that important right now? Why is it important for you to hear that? Because the threshing floor in the Bible is always a symbol of judgment. It's always a symbol of judgment. You see that in the prophet Hosea. The threshing floor has a spiritual significance because it's the place where good and evil are separated. One is judged as good, one is judged as bad. And so that's the context. And you have Boaz is at rest in a place of judgment, right? And he was not at panic. It was actually a time of celebration harvest. They'd brought everything in and they were going to celebrate. Now, I know that most of you will know this, but I just need to give you the imagery of what's actually happening here. And it goes all the way back to Exodus. Right? Because what happens here, it's that picture of the covenant of the ark. Again, spread your wings over your servant. It's a direct hearkening back to Jesus and his work. And if you know this, it's a good reminder if you don't, but it's a picture of the ark of the covenant and the mercy seat. Right? That's what it was. Remember, if the mercy seat was made of pure gold, a picture of righteousness. It was like 4 foot by, 3 foot nine, about really one big long piece. And what happened, it was always about the judgment of God, okay, in this place. And what would happen is that on the Day of Atonement, blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat. Now, this mercy seat is hilasterion, or propitiation. That's a really hard word to say. It means to satisfy. So it's another shadow of Jesus. So you're going to see Boaz as a picture of Jesus, going right back to the ark, which is a picture of Jesus, and we start to build up the picture of what he's doing. There's two cherubim of hammered gold, and they were made into one piece at each end of this big bit of gold. And what's the whole point of the cherubim? Well, they protected and guarded the way into the presence of God. That's cherubims were not kind of slightly fat, you know, kind of cutesy things with blonde curls, right? And a set of wings on the back. That's not what cherubim are in the Bible. They guarded, actually in the Garden of Eden, all the way back in Genesis 3, they actually guarded the way back to the tree of life. And they stood there like big brutes of things with flaming swords, right? Not wee pot bellies and tiles wrapped around the waist. This was like big, massive swords and flaming swords going like this. And so after, in a place of judgment, after we were cast out of the presence of God, we couldn't get back in because it was guarded by the cherubim. And you can read that in Genesis 3. So what happens is the picture of these wings then is like these cherubim took their stand as the avengers of God's holiness. They guarded, you know, it was absolutely hopeless to attempt, right? Any man could not attempt in any way to get back to that place of being found in the presence of God. Now, what happens is the Torah within the ark, the law within the ark, demanded the death of you and me. That's the bottom line. But above the Torah sat the cherubim. And what happens is, the picture is, instead then, you know, barring our approach to God, right? The wings became outstretched and they turned over in the middle and met right above the centerpiece of the ark, right? Now, what happens then, and that's called the place of mercy. So what happens is, at the point where there is a sacrifice made, God said that he would meet his people above that place. And what would happen is that which separated and kept you away from the presence of God now actually becomes a place of protection, where there is a sacrifice made for you and for me. A beautiful picture of Jesus. I've preached that so many times. And what happens is the faces now of the cherubim, instead of looking at you and keeping you out, they're looking down at the place where the blood is, towards the mercy seat, and looking down upon the blood that foreshadowed the death of the substitute that would come. And so this picture of wings and feathers is all about grace. He says, it actually says, he will come and meet you in that place of grace like this. And so whenever Ruth says, spread your wings over me, right? The language that she's using is, in the middle of judgment, right? I'm going to be found in a place where I am absolutely safe and protected. Now, in Psalm 57, 1 to 2, it says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cried out to God Most High. So that's the imagery. Now, so let me just tell you why the sex thing is totally ridiculous, all right? It's totally ridiculous. Because what happens is, when she says, if I go back to the verses, you know, spread your wings over me, and she's laid down at his feet and lifted the hem, the skirt that he would have been wrapped in was called a shul in Hebrew. And it was an emblem of authority. So as Boaz lay there, right, what she lifted, okay, was an emblem of like rank, or an emblem of a place of authority. A bit like today, you know, like the stripes on a naval officer's uniform, or a, you know, that kind of thing, or an airline pilot or whatever. You know, it's like you look here and you see the stripes and you go, that means they've got authority. And so, you know, and that bit of insight's really, really important. It's like, that's why David cutting Saul's hem, as an example, or why the woman with the issue of blood touched Christ's hem. Remember, she just reached out and touched the hem of his garment. What actually that is a picture of is reaching out to a greater authority and coming under it. That's the point. So this is what Ruth tells us today. You know what we need? You and I this week. And if you're listening online, you need it too. What we need this week is to come, not to do, but to position ourselves under the authority of Jesus and his work. That's what it is. Because you know what the truth of it is? We give ourselves to all sorts of authorities, all sorts of voices, all sorts of opinions, all sorts of stuff. You know, switch on the news for anything more than 5 minutes, and it's just a mess. Nobody knows what. Isn't that right? This person says this, this person says that, this is going to happen, this may happen. We're all doomed, Captain Mannering, doomed to tell you, right? Like, seriously, just get into bed and switch the lights off and pull the covers up and never come out again, because we're all doomed. And if it's not COVID's going to get us, it's something else is going to get us, I'm sure. Has anyone thought, after the COVID thing's done, what's next? I just have this wee sneaky feeling that somebody in an office somewhere is going, ha, 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 right? Isn't it your man Klaus Schwab or something? They all say the Great Reset. I don't know. Probably they are. But do you know what I think? I think for me, the way I'm going to find security and strength and hope and peace and provision is to go, those things might be an authority figure to someone, but my authority that I come under is bigger than them all. Amen. His name is Jesus. And do you know what? Do you know what's even more interesting? That's the picture here. She's lifting up the authority. And what's happened here is Ruth was asking Boaz to put his authority over her house. That was the point. She came, she rested, she trusted, and she covered herself, okay, with nothing other than his hem, which was the picture of his authority and his position. And you know what happens? You know what I love about this? The context was judgment. The context, do you know, because it's on the threshing floor she does this. Do you know what that means for you and I? Our context in the world today is the world judges everything and everyone, right or wrong. Spend 5 minutes on Twitter, right? If you dare. I do. I'm actually addicted. I'm not addicted. Penny will say I'm addicted, but I can't help myself. You know what I mean? Every now and again, I just fall off the wagon completely and spend 10 minutes arguing with people on Twitter. And then I think, honestly, has the world got more stupid? Or were we always this stupid, but we just didn't know about it? Has anyone thought that? Or genuinely, is there something they're putting in the water? Because, you know, I go onto Twitter and I go, people can't be that thick. Like, how do they put one leg into their chargers in the morning and still be that stupid? Right? Anyone? Just try it for 5 minutes. Best crack you'll have, right? But the point is this, that the world judges. That's why I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is not judging you. He's bringing you to Jesus this morning to show you his love and his grace for you. The one place in this world that you will never, ever be judged is only in the grace of Jesus. That's why the Spirit of the Lord brings you back every time. He says, feed here. Because every other place other than the presence of Jesus himself is a place of judgment. That's the truth. And what the Lord says to you this morning is, come and put yourself on, just rest a while with my authority over your house. And let me show you what happens in a minute, just as I get to finish. I really felt that this week quite strongly as I was listening to this going, the truth of it is, many of us are going to hear this word and go, aye, dead on. And then we're going to walk out of here. And what's going to happen is the first thing that comes, somebody says, or I feel, or, and it's like there's going to be this tussle and struggle again for who has that place of authority in our life. But whatever we decide in those moments will determine whether or not we live in peace and in rest and in trust. That's the bottom line. And so I love this story. I love this bit of the story because the simple, what I want you to remember today, I want you to think about that for yourself and go, who are the voices or what are the voices that I have allowed to have that place of power and authority in my life? It might just be me. It might be, you know, my experience. It might be my friends. It might be my fears. It might be somebody else. Because the Lord said, if you want to live in a world which judges, in a world which is good, bad, we defined, and you're trying to find your, you'll never live in peace other than you come and you find Jesus right in that place of judgment, right in your world. That's what it means, right in your situation. And he goes, just come under my authority. Just come under my authority. As for you and your house, you decide that. But what's going to be the authority? What's going to be the place and the seat and the root of authority for you and in your house? I think that's a really important question this morning, but I think it's such an important one because the world doesn't know. I'm just more convinced. The world, bonkers. I quite like it too. Like, I'm not anti the world. You know, we're not going to do David Koresh and create a camp and we're all going to live together until the second coming. Do you know what I mean? Remember him? He was half mental too. But I'm not talking about that. Like, pull up the ladders. You know what I mean? We're building a big camp in East Belfast and, you know, praying for the second coming. Like, that would be crazy. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is that real life thing of going, the context of the world is judgment and it's condemnation. But there's a redeemer for us. And she knew to place herself where to place herself. Not place herself a little bit in. She went all in. And you want to know what happened? I love this. I'm absolutely convinced the only safe place for me and for my children is to go to the place of highest authority and to place myself there. And that's why I love grace. Because if you didn't, what's her alternative? Does anyone know? What is the alternative? There isn't, is there? In the world today, what is the alternative? Are you going to buy what the world's offering? I think you'd be crazy to. I think you'd be crazy to. Look what happens here. Verse 15. Bring the garment you're wearing, Boaz says to her, and hold it out. Okay, like this, right? And so she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. What I absolutely love about this is just how amazing Jesus is. Whenever Ruth sought out her own blessing, listen to me, that's why I believe in grace for all. The grace of Jesus says, when you search out your own blessing, you will be, you know, the Lord blesses you. Do you get that? Because he loves you, and he's not going to, you know, it's not that he's not going to see you stuck. That's not the point. He wants you to live full and to thrive, because a human being fully alive actually just points to the glory of God, right? Because it's all about his work, and we just get to shine that. I understand that. But when she went to work for her own blessing, she got enough for 10 days. Whenever she came to the place of authority and rested and trusted in a place of judgment, condemnation, and she just simply put herself under the authority of Boaz, of Jesus in this thing, she gets 6 times more gifted to her. Isn't that incredible? 6 times more peace. Don't go to money and stuff like that, because you're missing the point. In a world which is troubled, insecure, doesn't know whether it's coming or going, whenever you, even under grace, here's your point, right? If you search and push, and the Lord's going to be good, and he's going to bless you with more than what you need. That was the point. But actually, when you just find rest, and you find yourself under authority in a position of rest and trust, 6 times more. Why? Because the Lord looks and goes, actually, in a place of trusting and resting, there is a fullness that flows to you. Isn't that incredible? 6 times what she got when she sorted out for herself. Now, is that good news for somebody this morning? Or are you all just like, whatever? All right. When you seek out not the blessing, but the one who has the blessing and is the blessing, you will find more favor and of peace and goodness and love and everything that the world does not have in these insecure times. You will find it in spades, full and overflowing. Why? Because his authority is the greatest authority. And all he says is, come and just rest yourself underneath that. Amen. Is this okay this morning? Yeah. You're all looking at me a bit funny. A bit funny. But I think it's such an incredible word of grace. And you know, and all he says is, come. He just says, come. Don't jump through hoops. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and figure it out. Don't. He says, you know, if you just come, I guess let me just finish by going kind of practical on that, to go, well, what's that look like? A lot of this starts actually not in our outward situations and our outward circumstances. It starts in our heads and in our hearts and in our thinking. That's where it starts. And so this week, even today, you're probably going to have lots of options, lots of opportunities, rather, to make a choice between that which grace says and something else, whether it's you or somebody else. The spirit of grace in you enables you to choose God every time. Do you realize that? It says that in Romans. The power of sin is broken. The power of self is broken. So we're without excuse, he actually says in Romans. So we get to choose God. There's no compulsion to choose God. We get to choose God. We get to choose his wisdom. We get to ask for it. And so that's what goes on. And I want to encourage you. What it happens in my head is, whenever I feel fear, whenever I feel anxiety, because I do too, all right? Whenever I feel tired or I feel worried about whatever, okay? What do? Do you dwell on it, think on it? Because the more sometimes I do that, the more I feel condemned and judged. Come on, you should be better than this. You should have this worked out by now. Why are you going through this again? Here we go, blah, 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 blah. Same old, anyone? Oh, flip, good. I feel like, what's that old expression? I feel like I'm a lion in a den of Daniels this morning. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm bearing my soul here, and you're going, no, I've never. Don't know what you're talking about. We're just floating in glory. All right? All right? But in those moments where we reckon, and we find ourselves on that threshing floor of judgment and condemnation, What we have to do in those moments is to turn our heart and our attention and say, what does grace say right now? What does Jesus say right now to me? What does his love look like for me now? If I feel this, what does the word of God say? And I will set my heart and my mind, I will set my attention onto Jesus and his work, onto Jesus and his grace. I may not know how he's going to do it, but I know that he will. I may not see the way forward, but he is already there and has got the path for me. I may not see the provision right now, but I know that he's already provided for me. Do you get that? And I go from that place of despair to a place of faith. My emotions may be right behind it, but actually in a place of judgment and condemnation, I just pull myself under his authority. And I stay there and I rest. And what happens is, you know, as we'll find out next week, he will not rest until the matter is done. Do you get that? So as you rest under that authority, he is working for you. And until it's resolved, the Lord keeps going for you. Amen? Now, that'll help you to live securely, even when times are troubled. I believe that. Is anyone encouraged this morning? Yeah? Yeah? Really? It's brilliant. I'm encouraged too. That's the first two things. There's another two things I'm going to finish off next week on this story. But essentially, in troubled times, okay, the reason why times are troubled right now and insecure and ambiguous and all the rest of it is because there are multiple false authorities putting themselves up everywhere, all promising and none of them delivering. And Jesus brings us his word and says, put yourself under mine. Super blessed when you're in that place. And you know what? It's a place of rest and trust. That's what the battle is. The battle is to keep yourself in the love of God. You don't need to worry about your circumstances. The least use of your faith, church, is worrying about your circumstances or whether you'll be provided for. Why? Because you've already got the promise of Jesus himself to say, I've already done it. But the real battle is to keep yourself in that place, mindful of grace in your life, mindful of grace in your heart. And when you do that, he says, hey, open up your arms and let me pour in. Multiple more than you'll ever do yourself. Let me pour in. Amen? Close your eyes and let me pray over you as the worship guys come up and get ready. Father, I want to thank you for your word this morning. And I just speak your word. Your word when we receive your word, Lord, we're changed. And so I thank you that it's life and health. And I just pray that the seeds that have been sown this morning in this place, Lord, online and everywhere else, Father, would take root. Lord, we thank you that you are the greatest authority. You've been good to us for all of our days, Lord. And we have not even started to scratch the surface of your grace and your love for us. So this morning we say thank you. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that whatever's going on out there, we can be found safe and secure under the shadow of your wings, Lord. And in that place, there is nothing that can successfully and consistently stand against your work in our lives because you are the greatest authority. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't we stand?